Needed, so needed in our hearts and our lives. Colossians chapter 3 in your Bibles this morning, if you'd turn there with me, the book of Colossians and chapter number 3 in God's Word. Well, you learn a lot about people when you're with them 24/7. And we got to sleep in an airport overnight twice, two nights in an airport overnight. And you ought to see the way some people wake up after they're in an airport and they wake up that early in the morning, you know.
Like a train station.
Yeah, a train station. You've been there. You know what we're feeling. Yeah, amen. And I'll tell you what, one night on the way down and one night on the way back. And I'll tell you, you know, you all think we were struggling and suffering. And maybe we ought to keep you thinking that.
Yeah.
Amen. But I'll tell you, after we spent one night in the hotel, we got to Colombia, Bogota, Colombia. Anybody been to Colombia? Anybody been to Colombia? Yeah. You've been there. I'm talking about before the mission trip. Amen. Anybody? I know. I asked the question. That's the answer I got. So, but I tell you what, the hotels are less expensive there. And we found a motel. It was a hotel that it was bougie. Amen. You know what I mean by bougie? That's the kind us independent Baptists don't ever get. That's the word bougie, amen. But it was a very nice motel. We got a nice rest that night. And I have to tell you, everybody did look so much better after that morning than they did the night before in the airport, amen. And I tell you, you learn a lot about people. Interesting. You know, the teenage boys, like Sam, he's a mess, amen? Samuel is what I call him, amen? He's a mess, amen? If you really get to know him, he's a mess, amen? And I got to sit by JR on the plane on the last flight after the night of sleeping in the airport floor in Miami. And I learned JR can sleep like this. Amen.
Amen.
He can sleep like that. I don't know how he did it, but he sleep like that. So if he disappears back there in the service this morning, you'll know he can sleep like that. Amen. And I'll tell you what, it was fun, but you sure get to learn a lot about people when you're gone. Amen. And when you're with them the whole time. And of course, this is gone. Amen. My beard. I'm thankful that I don't have a beard anymore. Amen. It got. Now, if you have one, that's great. That's fine. But for me, I couldn't wait to get the razor and it started getting scratchy and itchy and gray. That's the worst part about it. It was gray, and I had all that. I said, Lord, thank God for it. When I got done and got a razor, I just felt like I'd entered into heaven or something. Amen. So I know one thing, beards are not for me. Amen. That's just my choice. But anyhow. God is good. We're glad to be back, though. We had a wonderful trip. We got to give 8,000 Portuguese scriptures out. 8,000. And I'll tell you what, there were so many people there that we ended early because we had gotten everything done, everything out. And there were still people flooding and pouring in. But thank the Lord, there are more scriptures going there. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, every person who stamped a John Romans, every person who bought a suitcase, every person who prayed, every person who prayed for us while we were gone, you had a part in that. And we couldn't have gotten those scriptures there unless God's people helped give to that. And so it wasn't a mission trip that represented those that went. It was a mission trip that represented all of Moore Baptist Temple. And I thank God for you, and God's been good. And we'll show you what God did tonight in the evening service. So you better come back. Amen. All right, Colossians chapter 3. Follow along with me, please, this morning. Begin with verse number 1. The Bible tells us, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And verse 3 is my text. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. My text again is verse 3. I won't read it again. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God this morning, and thank you for the privilege to open it and to preach it this morning. And we ask that, Lord, you would meet with us in a wonderful way this morning and help us open our hearts to you and open our hearts to your word and to speak to us as you will. And Lord, we know that you have so much that you want to say to us. And Lord, I pray that we would have an open heart, Lord, to thy word this morning. Hide us behind the cross, and Lord, I pray you help us to rightly divide the word of truth this morning as we give it and preach it. In Jesus' name, amen. A wonderful verse that's been on my mind actually for about a month now is verse number 3. And until I dug into it and studied and saw what I believe God was teaching us through the verse, I didn't really know, but I dug into it because it was on my mind. And the Bible teaches us here, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, interesting, he's not just talking about eternal life. He's talking about our life on this earth. And he says that our life on this earth is hid with Christ in God. Now, I didn't understand exactly what that meant and probably don't fully understand it all, but I started studying what the Bible was teaching here, and I noticed and saw that the Bible says that word life is the word, the Hebrew word, or the Greek word krypto, which means kept secret or concealed. Now, that's interesting. God said that when we got saved, there is a life that God gave us that is kept secret. He's not talking about our life in heaven, although it can apply to that, and it will someday. But he's talking about our life right now. Our life is concealed. It's kept secret with Christ in God. Now, what is that talking about? What is the Bible saying? What does it mean, and how does it apply to us? And God is saying here this word. Now, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. Just a few pages to the right in your Bible, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Notice I'm in 1 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. Notice. It says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now, notice, first of all, that the scripture teaches us that if you're saved here, one day you used to be dead. One day you used to be dead. The Bible teaches you were dead, but now you have a life in you. Okay? Now, that is talking about eternal life, yes, But it's also talking about this life right now. When God moved in you at salvation, you got life inside of you. You became no longer dead. Because he said here, if we then be risen with Christ. You were dead, but you got risen in salvation. And now he lives inside of you. Now you have life. But what's interesting about the passage is that it is hid with Christ in God. Now, I didn't quite understand that until I got to thinking about really the Christian life. You know that the Christian life, really, the life that I have inside of me, I can't, you know, the lost person can't really see or know the joy, the peace, the happiness that I have in my heart. It is something that God one day resurrected me from the dead by salvation. And when I got saved, when you got saved, he came in to move inside of you, and he is the one that has real life. But, you know, I cannot give everybody exactly what's in my heart. I cannot fully explain the joy and the peace that is in my heart to the lost man. I can try, and we're supposed to give it, try all we can, right? But there is a life. There is a joy that I have that I cannot fully express to anybody. There is a peace that resides in my heart when God came in to my heart as salvation as a 13-year-old boy. But I cannot adequately give that to every lost man. I cannot adequately explain it. It's only until they accept Christ themselves and he comes in, renders them from dead to life in Christ, that they can begin to understand what life in Christ is like. The joy, the peace. See, God has kept a portion of our life hidden. It's hidden. It's concealed. It's kept secret. Now, this is not saying that we keep our Christian life secret. It's that Christ has given us this Christian life, and it is so immense and so wonderful that we cannot adequately explain it and give it to everybody. I cannot tell you all of the peace and the happiness that God gives me when I go through trials and troubles. But if you have Christ in your heart and in your life, that same God who rendered you dead to life in Christ, that same God gives you that peace. That same God gives you that joy. And it's kept inside of you. It's concealed inside of you. It's in some part kept secret. Because you too cannot explain all the peace and the joy that God gives you. It's hard to put into words salvation. And I think that might be one reason why God calls salvation the unspeakable gift. Because we cannot adequately explain it. I can give it to the lost man, but I cannot give him all of what's inside of me to that lost man. I can give him what God wants him to know so that God can be in him and that he too can experience what Christ is doing in his heart and life. But it's something that God gave to me. It's something that God gave to me. And salvation is something God gave to you, and your life isn't hidden in this old world. Your life is hid with Christ and God. When I go into the world and we find ourselves in places in this world through business and travel, we find ourselves sometimes in places that can sometimes be dark and bad. And there's a God that lives inside of me that wants somebody else to not know that darkness and that evil world. I want them to know what I have. But I can't adequately give them everything, but I can give them what I have. I can give them what I know. But thank God he's reserved for me this this part of salvation inside of me that is there, that always springs up, that always wells up, that always is there. And it's that water of life that I can always feed upon. It cannot be fully explained. One of the frustrations of the Christian life is to be able to fully explain to the lost man the hope that's inside of you, the joy, the peace, the purpose that we sense inside of us. But they don't always know. They don't always understand everything. But I know one thing. When you're risen with Christ, it's a whole different life than that dead life. That dead life of living in sin before. He said in verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, you're no longer dead. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So God's saying, hey, when you're risen, you're not dead anymore. You're risen with Christ. And I think that's one reason why we're supposed to be baptized after we get saved. Because it's a picture that we are no longer dead in sins. You go down as a picture. It's not the water that saves you. You're already saved if you're saved genuinely before baptism. It isn't water that saves you. But when you go down, it's a picture that God saved you. And when you come up, it's a picture that you've been risen with Christ. Amen? We were at one time, we're dead in trespasses and sins, but because he is risen, he takes the person that's saved, brings life into them, and brings them from death into life. I wish I could adequately explain that to every lost man. We know according to Scripture that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's hard to convey the joy. It's hard to convey the peace. I have in my heart the happiness that I wake up with every morning. It's hard to explain to the lost man all that is and all that is entailed. There's some things that are hid. Our life is hid with Christ and God. There's some things that just I cannot explain, but I thank God that when I got salvation, I got a whole lot more than I can even explain. More than I could ever teach you, more than I could ever preach to you. You have more than anything that I could ever teach you or preach to you. You have a life hid with Christ and God. Now, if you've never been saved before, or you're trusting in religion or works, I tell you, you're still dead. You're still dead. You're dead. You're dead according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. You're dead in trespasses and sins. Sin brings death. It always, the two go together. Sin and death are like marriage. They go together. They're inseparable. Sin and death. When you get Christ, you got saved. There were two little birds that built a nest in a garden. And little Jean found the nest one day. She said, there were four speckled eggs in it. And how pretty they are, she said. Weeks later, her brother went in to see the beautiful eggs. But looking into the nest, he saw only broken, empty shells. Oh, she said as she picked up the broken shells, the pretty eggs are spoiled now. No, no, said her brother, they're not spoiled. The best part of them is that they have been broken open and have taken wings and flown away. You see, when a person gets saved, sometimes that old devil struggles in their heart and they think that they're going to give up some peace, joy, or some happiness that they have. But can I tell you what? When you're risen with Christ, you are free. You are truly free in Christ. Oh, I want to tell you, I wish I could adequately explain to you who are hearing this message today, but you don't know Christ. I wish I could adequately give you what's in my heart. But there are some things I can't always give you. You can't always see into my heart and know everything that God's given me. And I can't look into your heart. Only God can see the heart. I wish I could give them all the adequacy of the joy and the peace and the happiness of the fulfillment of being saved brings to our heart. But there are some joys that are hid with Christ and God. Thank God. Thank God. I think it's God teaching us that each individual's salvation is a special thing. Your salvation is very special to you. It's very joyful. It's very meaningful. Or at least it should be in you. Because when God saved you, he saved you as an individual person. God doesn't come down and find some collective group and, okay, I'm going to collectively save all. You know, it's one here and one there and one over here and one over that direction that find Christ. They desire to be saved. And God takes them from death, raises them up, and gives them everlasting life. Thank God. Thank God for that. Now, what does this do? What does this mean? It can't be fully explained. It can't be fully understood by the lost. And the lost are the ones who need what we have. But may I tell you, the lost can see the evidence of what comes out of us. They can't see it all. They can't know it all. They can't see every joy, but they can see the joys that do come out. And those joys that do come out are enough to want us to want Christ. Can I tell you, the lost man is in such a hopeless condition that if he lives and remains in that hopeless condition, he begins to seek to want something that's better than what he has. And he will not find it unless there is somebody who tells them, who shows them what God can do in their life. Don't get me wrong. I don't believe in this doctrine of lifestyle evangelism where you don't have to tell anybody that you're saved, but you just hope that the way you live is enough to get them saved. I want to tell you what, God didn't tell us to have that kind of, he told us to live the right kind of life, but to open our mouths and to tell this world. That's what God wants. They can see a portion of this unspeakable gift. They can see some of what God has done in you. And it is enough for them to taste the Lord Jesus Christ. It's enough for them to see what God is. It reminds me when we were in Africa years ago, there were some little kids and they had just had a Kentucky Fried Chicken come to Kampala, and we decided to go down one day and have Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, us preachers, we just can't get away from fried chicken. Amen? And so even when we were in Africa, we went there. But I'll never forget, outside of the window, there were two little boys looking in the window. They had nothing but shorts on and old clothes, and we're sitting in the Kentucky Fried Chicken eating chicken. And those boys were just looking in the window, and I wonder if they looked and said, I wonder what it'd be like to have the chicken that they have. I wonder what it'd be like. We finished our meal, and we're going to take our box, you know, that you get, and we're going to throw it away. And those little boys came up to us and said, can we have what's left? They wanted to take what we were done with, and they wanted to take it and chew on it. Can I tell you, I wonder how many people are lost today, and they look in the window, and they see that you have peace. They see that you have joy. They see that you have something, and they just like the scraps of what you have. They just like whatever little piece I can get off them would bring me some satisfaction. Oh, listen, I'll tell you something. There are people all over this world, whether they realize it or not, that there is something that they're missing. And that there's something that we adequately cannot give them. But here's the point. Here's the point of the truth. The truth is that when we give them the word, hear me, it is the word that then quickens them to life everlasting. I can't give them all of what's on my heart, but I can give them the word. And when I give them the word is what creates life. The word is what takes us from death to life. It's what raises us up, puts us in Christ, gives us the song in our heart, and gives us the peace and the joy by which we live every day. The Word. It's the power of the Word. There was a storekeeper in a small town. He was a very honest man, and a family one day moved to town, and they moved into that home across the street from the store. And every day, the father, who was not a Christian, he would go into that store. And after a year, he went to the pastor of the church there, and he said, "You know, the storekeeper is one of the most honorable and Christ-like people I've ever known. I want what he has. Will you help me?" The preacher told him of Jesus and of his power to change our lives. And the man accepted Christ. His home became a Christian home, and two of his daughters became missionaries, all because one man had something hid inside of him that he gave to the world. I wish I could even give more of what's hidden inside of me to the Lord, to the world. And we ought to try, amen? The goal is to give everybody, as many as we can, what God did in us. But can I tell you what will quicken them to life? It's the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The Bible says the Word of God is what reaches all the way into people's hearts. It gives them something in their heart and their life where Christ becomes hid inside of them. A joy kept secret, a joy that you can't explain. I cannot adequately put words to it, but thank God it's there. Thank God it's there. We know him. There was a missionary who was in Africa for many years. He was assigned went to a new place and immediately began to preach Jesus. As he spoke of Jesus' healing ministry, the natives said, "Why, we know him. Why, he used to live here." "Oh no," said the missionary, he never lived here. He died some 2,000 years ago. He arose again, he's now in heaven. The natives, however, insisted that they knew him because many years before, a missionary had lived in that tribe. And he lived so Christ-like among them that when the second missionary came preaching Christ, the natives thought he was talking about that missionary who lived among them. I want to say to you today that God's put something inside of you, and not all of it comes out. You can't adequately explain all of what God did in salvation. Thank God it's there. Thank God it's there. But I want to tell you something. There's somebody else who needs that same joy. There's somebody else who needs that same peace. Somebody else who needs that same happiness that lives inside of them. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Somebody needs the best you can do to give it to them. And they need the Word of God through us to them. Oh, what a difference it makes. It doesn't matter if the preacher's young or old. It doesn't matter if he's short or tall. It doesn't matter if he's thin or like some of the rest of us. It doesn't matter. What matters is the Word that he gives. What matters is that there is a Word given and that the Word will bring eternal life. Oh, I'm sold on the truth. I'm sold on it because I know what it did in me. And I know what's hidden inside of me from Christ in God. It is a salvation that is real. It's daily. It's hourly. It speaks to me when I'm down. It encourages me when I'm defeated. It holds up my head when I can't hold it up on my own. It's a real salvation that God buried in my heart and put deep in there. And I want to tell you something. If you're saved, you got the same thing. You got the same Christ. He didn't say, "I'll give you a little extra special dose and some of you, I'll just give you a little tiny bit." No, the same Christ that moved in me is the same Christ that moved in you. Same one. He's the same one that wants to move into your neighbor by his word. He's the same one that wants to go to friends and family and move into them by his word. His word is the catalyst. His word is the taker from death unto eternal life. His word must go forth to all people. There is no generation that cannot have it. There is no people that cannot have it. There is no heart or no race or no gender or any particular truth that God shies away from. Every creation of God, God wants his word to them, that they can have it to take them from death unto life. And even though there's still a portion that's hid inside of me and hid inside of you, thank God there's enough that God's given us to give it out to that lost person who needs us. It's those children on the street. It's those that mother who's trying to make ends meet. It's that divorced home. It's that drunken home. It's that home where drugs have made a terrible destruction of that home, that the word can be powerful and rich. It's where poverty is immense. The word can be rich. The word can be powerful. It's a life that God has given us. I can't explain it all. I wish I could give everybody what's in my heart. I don't know how to do it. And I can't. But I can give them enough of the word so that that same Christ can live inside of them and they can know him. And I say to you today, when we hide the word, when we keep the word quiet, when we keep the word hidden, it cannot do that. It cannot change a life. Try, if you must, if you will, to explain what's in you, but you won't adequately get it out until they receive Christ in the word themselves. Then they'll know. Then Christ will be hid in their heart. Then their life will be in Christ, in God. With God, with Christ in God. That's how it'll be. Oh, listen, thank God for his goodness. Thank God for this unspeakable gift that he gave us. And you have it today if you're a Christian. You're saved here today. You know it. Somebody wants to find a Christian this way. He has a mind and he knows it. He has a will and shows it. He sees his way and goes it, and he draws a line and toes it. He has a charge and takes it, a friendly hand and shakes it, a rule and never breaks it. And if there is no time, he makes it. He loves the truth, stands by it. He never tries to shy it. Whomever may defy it or openly deny it, he hears a lie and slays it. And as I heard him praise it, he knows the game and plays it and sees the path Christ trod and grips the mighty hand of God. A Christian who he is. I say to you today that though our world is becoming more wicked, the greater the need for the Christian to give what's inside of him, to give the word of God, to adequately explain as best you can from the word what God desires to do in people's lives. It's a life hid with Christ and God. I wonder, do you know Christ? Do you have him? I wish that I could give you what I have, but until you believe the word, you won't have it. In Luke chapter 16, we find that story of that rich man who died and he went to hell. And the Bible tells us in Luke 16 that he went to hell, and as he was in hell, the Bible said he was in a place of torment. And as he was in that torment, he became interested that his five brethren would not come to that place. And he said, God, he said, if only I could leave hell and go to my brethren and tell them about this awful place, they would see my smoking, burning body and they would turn to Christ. But the scriptures declared that not even that would convince them. Not even seeing somebody that had come from hell and came back literally from hell and became a witness of hell's horrors, not even that would be sufficient to convince anyone. He told him, you know what? They have the law and the prophets. Let them hear them. You know what he's meaning? He's saying they have the word of God. They have the Bible. The Bible has more power to convince the person of their need to be saved than one smoking, burning body coming back from an eternal hell. And likewise, I as a Christian can give you as best I can what's in my heart, but there's nothing that'll convince you of your need of salvation like knowing the Word of God and hearing from the Word of God your need to be saved, because it's of God and not me. Oh, sometimes we have this way of not believing man. Sometimes we just don't become trustful of man. But when God says it, there's something that should tell us this is true and real, and it is God's holy word. And when God tells you today, if you're not here and you're saved, and God speaks to your heart, not me, but God says, you're going to spend eternity away from God forever unless you get saved. Can I tell you what? Hear his word this morning. Hear Christ. Trust him. Put your faith in him. Your life is dead right now, but your life can be hid with Christ in God. Oh, it's a wonderful truth for a Christian, but it's a sobering principle for a lost man. It's sobering. But the blessing is when he receives the word and trusts Christ himself, that inside himself, he becomes his life. He gets a new life that's hid with Christ in God. What a joy. What an amazing blessing that God gives us so much that we can't even explain it. We can try, but I can't give you everything that's in my heart. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, but you can have the same thing in your heart when you trust Christ and open your heart to Christ. Do you know you're saved? Has it been settled? Are you in Christ? Are you trusting him today? If not, this morning I want to say to you today, open your heart to him. Allow him to come in. Yield to the Holy Spirit who knocks on your heart door. Yield to him and let him come in and save you today. Would you do that? Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes.